Welcome to the LuxCore podcast, the ultimate hangout spot for all things Pilates. Whether you're a newbie, a seasoned pro, or even a Pilates instructor yourself, get ready to dive into the world of Pilates every week. We'll be interviewing industry professionals, from instructors and studio owners to educators and even equipment designers, sharing their wisdom, sparking new conversations about hot topics, and hearing from some of your favorites in the field. So if you're all about movement, wellness, and hearing expert tips on all things Pilates, then grab a comfy spot and let's get started. For today's episode, we headed to Fulham and interviewed Becca, the owner and founder of House of Pilates London. She shares an inspiring story of how her journey into Pilates started by training and teaching with New York Pilates. The conversation is so vibrant, full of laughter, reflecting her personality and her studio perfectly. She found a niche within the Pilates market, so we go into all of that, discussing how she opened her studio, but we also have a little bit of a discussion about understanding the distinction between a mega former class and Pilates reformer. Enjoy this conversation. Unfortunately, we did have a little technical fault for the first 15 minutes of recording, but after that, everything goes smoothly. We hope you enjoy. Firstly, welcome, Becca, to the LuxCore podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So happy to be here in your beautiful studio.
Thank you.
So we'll throw ourselves straight in the deep end and we'll do a rapid fire round.
Okay, I'm ready.
So, tea or coffee?
Tea.
Reformer or mat?
Reformer.
Classical or contemporary?
Contemporary.
Amazing. Privates or classes?
Post-COVID classes. I need to be with people again.
And then bare feet or grip socks?
Grip socks.
Mm-hmm. Favorite athleisure brand right now?
CRZ Yoga. Amazon brand. So good.
I totally know what you mean. Amazon are changing the game.
So good. It's so good quality.
Yeah. And then favorite wellness tip you would give a
Lattes, matcha lattes, and poppies.
I mean, if that isn't a wellness tip, I don't know what it is. Incredible. Okay, that was probably my favorite. Should we just end there?
We're happy with that. We're done.
Okay, so let's dive into a little bit of before you became a Pilates instructor. You were living in London. Well, first of all, you're from
Scotland, yeah.
Obviously, if anyone's not gathered by now, which area?
So just between Edinburgh and Glasgow, so West Lothian, right in the middle. I went to uni in Glasgow and then only lived back in Livingston for like a little bit longer before I like literally finished uni and pretty much moved to London, like straight away. I've never actually lived like not with my parents in Scotland, like as an adult living on my own, I've always lived away, so it's quite weird. But yeah, like with my husband's job and things like that, I gave us the opportunity to like move quite quickly. So yeah, we moved to London.
So you guys met in Scotland, moved down to London together.
Yeah.
Incredible. And then you were working for a bar studio to start
with? So I was managing, there was like three different studios and I just kind of bounced between them and sort of, managed that like a sort of mini area manager, like not on a big, huge scale. It was pretty like small gig, but it was really great experience. I've always been into like health and fitness and stuff. Like I did gymnastics from when I was tiny and then I went into like competitive kickboxing. So I just never thought about a career in it. It was funny, like at uni I did business and marketing, but I'd never thought about a career like in the like fitness industry. I don't know why.
How did you end up with that job then? Did you just decide that that was an environment you wanted to be in?
No, it was a mutual friend of ours, Katie. who was like teaching at the studio, and she was like, oh, you're looking for a job, like you're in London, blah blah blah. And yeah, and then she like introduced me to the owner, and then
what a bet.
Yeah, I know. What so I'm bet. Like, she was like, and then as soon as I started working there and saw that people actually did that for a job, I was like, oh. Okay.
I can actually do that
for a job. So yeah, that was kind of my gateway into the industry. And then I moved because I moved country. So I left that job and moved.
So how many years were you doing the studio management?
Only a couple of years, so not too long. I was there for a couple of years, and then I really enjoyed it, actually. I did really enjoy it, but I never necessarily thought about becoming a teacher. Mm-hmm. I think I'd like a little alarm bells were like, oh, that would be great. And I really liked, just from looking on, like the flexibility it gave you in your schedule. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. I just felt like it might be something that I'd maybe be quite good at. But again, I was like, well, I don't know what I would teach. I didn't really know what to think I would begin.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Germany, and his company gave us like language school, basically, like as much as we wanted. So I used to go every day because I wasn't working, so I was like, I'm just gonna go and try and learn some German. But yeah, so that was really fun. And then that was quite good as well, because we were supposed to be there for 2 years, but we ended up only being there for a year, and then we ended up moving again, but more on that in a minute. But we in that time I kind of was taking a lot of Pilates classes, learning German, taking Pilates classes.
So you could go to do Pilates classes in Germany in English, or
in
having
German
in German.
That's
what we're testing you. Yeah. Your knowledge of words.
I was like, oh, they're counting, okay, got it.
This is something that I think that going through the next couple of months of lock school, I'm like, okay, if I go to Vienna or Paris,
yeah,
if I go to a class, I'm going to need to know the language. And so that's kind of really interesting to know, I think, going into, you know, different areas of the world and trying to experience Pilates in different areas, is whether or not that's going to be something.
Yeah, I think it will be fine, because I reckon there's a lot of studios that do teach in English, and also because you're familiar with it, you can probably like get the gist.
It's movement based, right?
Yeah.
Wrong, you just look around.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to go too wrong. But yeah, because there was literally, I did spend a lot of the time like, okay, I'm in the
right. Am I in the right place? Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. But it was fun. It probably helped, like, again, to try and like learn a bit of the language, so it was good.
Did you find that you were thinking of becoming an instructor at that point when you were doing it regularly in Germany?
I started to think, because our personal circumstances were starting to kind of like sort of weave in the way that we might end up moving around a little bit.
Yeah.
So I was like, what can I do that would be transferable, like in any country that I moved to, let's put languages aside, but generally speaking, like somewhere where it's not going to be like I have to go and like, you know, apply for a job and go through 10 interviews and then get this job, like, you know, like something that
it
was a bit
quite a short,
looser,
like, short-term process in terms of being employed, but like getting the job, like a 10-stage process where it takes 2 months to get that.
And I always really wanted, like, although we were getting all these great experiences from my husband's job and like getting to move about and stuff, I was still very much like, I have been to uni, like I have, like I wanted my own thing as well. I think, and I've always been like that. I was never like one of those kids who was like, I know what I want to be when I grow up. Like, I didn't really know anyway. So it's not like I was sitting there like desperate to do something and not sure how to do it. But yeah, I kind of realized, oh, okay, like maybe something like this would be good. And yeah, then it just kind of snowballed into like, okay, I think I'd quite like to do this for like a job. And I think I would probably be quite good at it, because I really like working with people. I wouldn't have a Scooby of how to like teach a class like at this point, but I was like, or anything about any of that. But I thought maybe I'll be quite good at it. I'm not quite sure. And then like out of the blue, we had gotten married. A few months later, we get a phone call to be like, do you want to move to New York? From my husband's employer. And we were like, he was like, and I was like, yes, like in the background, like, I'll go. So then when I realized that that was going to be the move, I was like, okay, I'm going to make a move. So then I started applying to programs in New York. And then it was very quick the way it all happened. Like, we like went and saw, like we flew over, saw apartments, like started to like put feelers out. So then I started reaching out and getting in contact with places, and then just tried to like
kick it off from the get-go.
This is incredible.
It's so exciting.
What an opportunity to go to New York and just throw yourself straight
in. I know. It was mad. It was mad.
So you moved in, was this before COVID?
Yeah.
Yeah.
18? Maybe it was 18.
Okay, so good for you. Yeah.
2018. And it all worked out that I did like my application for the program that I wanted, and I'd like did a bit of research, blah blah blah, and then I had to do like an audition for the program as well to get into it, and I obviously contacted them to be like, well, I'm still in Germany, like so they let me do the audition like online, and
wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, and it was like, it wasn't an audition of like how to teach, because like I didn't know how to teach, but it was like an audition. I can't remember what you had to do, but it was basically to get you to describe something, mm-hmm. but like in a way that you could use like visual things and like mm-hmm. just how you would describe something and like to show your personality, I think, mm-hmm. as well a bit. It was like really weird, but it was fun. And I did that online, and then I got like an email like a year after being accepted. The course starts 2 days after you moved to New York. So I was literally like,
wow.
Oh my God, like unpacking my case, like trying to find my leggings to go and start this like course.
Insane.
So it was so crazy. But the good thing was I met loads of friends straight away, because yes. I started the course and then like met everyone who
Throw
I'm still
yourself
friends with.
Straight
exactly.
And also I guess that stopped you from that whole procrastinating, getting inside your own head.
Yeah.
And I think you just, again, the idea of throwing yourself in the deep end takes away any sort of preempted nerves that you might have had.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, it's not nerve-wracking, but you threw yourself in, found friends and a workplace yeah. within the space of 2 days of moving to a brand new city and a new country.
I know, it worked out so well.
Yeah.
Highly recommend starting something straight away. It seems overwhelming, but it yeah. is
And almost so just don't think about it, just do it.
Yeah, just yeah. do it. That's the thing. And then that's like, there was never any loneliness, there was never...
Yeah,
and then I was like, I'm straight in, I've got all these friends, and I'm like,
and you just let you go.
Yeah, it was great. It was so good. So yeah, and that's how it all began.
Okay, so for those who are listening, we had a little technical fault the first time we recorded. So we're back for part two. That we're merging into one. So we ended the conversation last time talking about your journey into New York City and starting your training after landing 2 days beforehand. Such a whirlwind. So getting straight back into that, you had started with New York Pilates.
Yes. Sorry, when you said your journey into New York City, it just made me think, you know, Elf, the Christmas film. That's just about like me, Buddy the Elf, like venturing into the big city, like my journey to New York City.
Oh my gosh. This is
but so then, yeah, got to New York City through the candy cane, swirly twirly.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Got to New York and started my Pilates training. So yeah, started that real quick, like 2 or 3 days after I got there. So yeah, that was good.
And you started with your mat?
I started with mat. So I did mat first because I wasn't sure, because I was like, what if I'm not very good at being a teacher? So I didn't want to commit to like the full program of
Absolutely.
Like the comprehensive certification, because mm-hmm. it was like mat, the way it was back then, it was just mat first and then all of the equipment. It's like you couldn't just do reformer, you can just do this or that.
No, yeah.
So I was like, I don't know if I want to commit to all mm-hmm. that. And plus it's going to take me like a year probably to complete. So I thought, let me do mat first and see how I get on. But like as soon as I started learning it mm-hmm. and like the penny started to drop, I was like, oh yeah, I really like this. And when I was so nervous, like as a person, which is really hard to believe, I'm not very good at like speaking like I'm in public mm-hmm. or I never used to be. I used to be a bit more shy. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to like stand up in front of a class and teach. But then everyone was so nice and supportive, like all the girls and guys that I met on the course, like everyone was just so like, well, like come on.
Aww,
and like so
nice.
Then you got a bit more confidence. So then I felt like good to like teach a little bit in front of people. And then I was like, okay. And then I was really getting into mat. And then they were like, so what are you going to do? Like, are you going to continue or are you going to just do mat and that's that? And I was like, well, I'll continue. So then I decided to sign up. And then mm-hmm. literally, I think there was maybe a gap of like 3 or 4 weeks. And then the other, like the course mm-hmm. then started.
So how long does the mat training take with them?
The mat training was, I think it was over a few months. I want to say it was from like when I moved end of September, start of October. I think it was just before Christmas
mm-hmm.
I did the mat.
Okay.
So like a bit. a couple of months, I would say, and then into the equipment took me like pretty much all in all probably about a year and a bit to like complete. Yeah. And in the meantime, just starting to like teach bits and bobs and stuff. Yeah. So brilliant. It was good though. I'm glad that I like obviously fell in love like with reformer like when I got into it. And I love all the other equipment as well. Which I taught a lot of more in America than I have since I come back to London, mainly because there aren't a lot of studios in London.
I was gonna say, so what, so the most of what I've seen from New York Pilates is that they have mainly reformer.
Yeah.
What other pieces of equipment do
they have? So they actually have like fully equipped private studios as well. So they have like their reformer, their big reformer rooms, like in most of the studios, and then like they have a separate bit, not in all of the studio locations, but in some of them. And then it was like they had like Cadillac, chair, barrel, like everything. Yeah, they had like everything down in a private section, so there used to be like a few privates going on at one time as well.
And the way that they teach is quite contemporary based, or do they
I was definitely trained contemporary and more like on that style of things. When I try and do like a classical Pilates class, I'm like, oh my god, this is so hard. Like, what is this? Because it's just totally different from how I've pretty much always done it since the start. Yeah, it was good though, but it was good to get a little mix of both. And I did really enjoy doing privates as well. Then COVID happened, and obviously the rules in New York were different. You were allowed like certain capacities and things like that. And then group classes weren't allowed, but I think privates were still allowed, if I'm right in remembering. I remember teaching like one-to-ones all the time. Oh, and then I was like, okay, I want a break from one-to-ones, which is kind of when I moved away from doing like all like of the other apparatus and just was teaching like reformer, because I was like, I just want to be in like a group doing reformer.
It's a lot more fun. It's a lot more like your personality.
And
as
at
well.
That time as well, it was definitely more like, oh, I just can't wait to like be with people again and have that vibe of like a group. And I do feel like personality wise, I am probably suited more to group, because honestly in one-on-ones I just ended up chatting to people the whole time and just like I was like, so what's been going on,
what's happening?
Yeah,
I do feel like sometimes you end up with private, it's a little bit of a therapy session at the same time, or it's like a coffee and a chat, and then we get into class, so it's like 20 minutes after the time started.
I still have a client from America that I see on Zoom every week, and I swear he just likes the chat, like he's like I'm like, so shall we? And he's like, but first let me ask, have you watched The Crown? Like, he asks all things about the UK, and I'm like, yes. And then we do a little bit, and then we chat some more. But yeah, I'm definitely more suited to it.
I remember now that when I went to New York City the first time with my husband, partner at the time, we had got to New York City, and I messaged you to say, oh my gosh, I'm in New York, can I come to your classes? And I think you were either back in the UK or you were away for the weekend somewhere. And so you're like, I'm not here, but this is for you to go and try, and the studio to go to. I can't remember. I think I went to the Soho one or something. And it was brilliant. It was really good. Yeah. The instructor was incredible. The studios were gorgeous. And I was like, there's nothing like this in the UK.
Yeah, there is nothing.
There was like nothing at the time, obviously.
Yeah.
But then I think I remember landing back from New York City, and then this conversation of COVID was starting to happen.
God,
and I was like, this is mad. That, and because New York got hit so hard,
we just
felt so lucky to have seen it before that. And then obviously with everything that happened and things. But it was just crazy. After all that time, I hadn't seen you. And then I'd come, gone in, and then obviously then COVID happened. And it all just went nuts. So
crazy.
Did you end up staying in New York for the duration of COVID, then you came back to
London? So we were there for like 2 years before. We were there during COVID, and then we came back. We came back here summer of, COVID had like just finished here as well. So like the end of summer 2021, I'd say, because it had not long. Like the thing with New York is it was like crazy for like a few months, and then it was fine. Like whereas everyone here was like locked in for like a year, I feel like.
Yeah,
so when we got back, it had just kind of finished. So we kind of were lucky we missed it, like on both sides.
Yeah.
But in terms of like teaching, I got back to the UK, and like you say, at that time I was like, oh, where are all the Pilates studios? Like, what am I gonna?
At the end of COVID, it really wasn't a thing, because I was still working for my other employer. At the end of COVID, went back to my full time job, and again, it wasn't really a thing. Reformer hadn't had its like big peak here. And so when I left my corporate job, maybe 6 months, probably about the same time you got back, actually, I was like, where do I teach? There's not that many, and because I really wanted to get into reformer and everything. So, like you say, you kind of come back and you're like,
so where does everyone teach?
Yeah. Where is everyone working?
Yeah. So was it kind of like, we're going to come back, we're going to trial the studio? So remember, you're teaching quite a few different studios.
Yeah, I was teaching at a few different, I was basically trying to take, the first couple of months I was back, I wasn't working. I just was like, I'm just going to, maybe like the first 6 weeks, maybe not even 2 months, but say 6 weeks, I wasn't working because I thought, I want to get back, get myself organized, settled. Hadn't seen family because of COVID. Mm-hmm. We had been in America there. They were over there. We could see each other. So we hadn't seen each other since before COVID.
Wow.
So I was just wanting to do all stuff like that. And then also just take loads of classes at loads of different studios. But there wasn't that many different studios.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing. So I was like, oh God. And then I was, because I had been trained and had been teaching in like a certain way, when I came back to the UK, I felt like Pilates was still definitely more aimed at like the older generation. And when I came back and I was trying to find somewhere, the studios were, it was a completely different vibe from what I was used to. And I was like, where are all like the young ones?
Where's
the
high-
Where's the fun disco? What's happening? And then it just hadn't, like you say, had its like moment yet. I was kind of a bit like, oh God, I'm just gonna have to like, and I found like a couple of lovely studios to like work for. It was really tricky because I realized they weren't exactly me, mm-hmm. but girls got work. So like, I was like, I'll find some work, got some work. I still felt like this doesn't feel like quite where I should be. But at that point I was like, I need to get settled in London. I need to like meet some people, meet some clients, like mm-hmm. start to work here
mm-hmm.
and then I'll figure out what I want to do next. And that's kind of when things in my head, like from the jump of coming back to London, I was like, I want my own studio because there's literally nothing. And then studios kept opening as it got popular, but all of these studios that were opening, I was still like, no, still not it. Like, that's still not what I'm looking for. Like, that's not it. I was going to all of them and I was like, nope, nope, nope. Like,
you just know your niche.
Yeah,
I was like, it's, and everyone always, I guess, thinks, especially when you come into it, that every Pilates teacher is going to teach you the same way.
Yeah.
Every Pilates experience is going to feel the same. And it is so diverse.
It's so different, like, from place to place. I would see somewhere online, I'd be like, okay, well, that place looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd go and I'd be like, okay, didn't like the music, didn't like the style. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm quite, like, indifferent.
You're
like,
specific.
I didn't like the lights.
Yeah,
like, I didn't like things like that. There was things I'm like, well, I wouldn't mm-hmm. have it like that. I wouldn't have it like that. And it's not that it was wrong. It's just not what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, there's like a,
I think
there's something that I have in my head. Like,
it's an experience.
Yeah.
This is what
yeah.
me and Lottie were saying yesterday when we were chatting. And it was this conversation about how, yes, Pilates is, you know, relatively similar in terms of the practice is the same and our intention is the same most of the time. But there is an experience each time you come in, and the experience will be so personal to each person. That's why so many people go to specific instructors or specific classes or to specific equipment, because something resonates with them as a person,
mm-hmm.
them as a body and mind and soul and everything.
Yeah.
So if it's not hitting every single part that you want to experience, then there's a missing piece to the puzzle. Like, you love the reformer and the instructor's great, but you didn't enjoy the environment, like the lighting and whatever it was, then again, you still, there's a gap in the market for it.
Yeah.
So then you can find your own space.
That's exactly how I felt. I was like mm-hmm. going to all these studios. And like I said, it's not that, I'm not saying anyone was wrong.
No,
I'm just like, there's something that
so
I
personal.
Think would be good and what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make something that was just like a whole cool experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a good class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the classes I'm quite particular about, like, this different, I've got, like, there's three different styles of classes that we have here. And every time that we've, like, got a new teacher in, I'm quite firm on, like, I'm not telling you how to teach, but these are the class parameters, if you like, of what this class should be structured like. Because I was so over going to so many studios, more so the bigger studios are maybe different, but the smaller studios, which is where I want to go, that's where I want to like support, is like the smaller businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so inconsistent from teacher to teacher.
Yeah.
While it's amazing and you want the variety of personality and like moves and style,
yeah, yeah.
but there needs to be like some kind of format, a brand.
Always makes me feel like
who she is, but yeah, like a brand. Yeah, yeah, you need that brand. So I was like, that's the first thing I want to make sure we're all kind of aligned on the kind of thing that we're teaching.
Yeah,
and that's going to be like a work in progress, like and like something that we're continuously working on to get everyone like happy and comfortable teaching in a certain style. So that when clients come, it's like they're not like, oh, one day I came to class and it was more like restorative and we just kind of lay down a lot. And the next time they come and they're like hanging upside down and they're like, what? Like,
yeah.
Just to keep things a bit more
consistent. Absolutely. So then your clients know what to expect.
Yeah.
And each time they're coming in, they're getting the same experience, but with a different take or a different instructor. The way that it's being taught is slightly different. It might be different cues or whatever it is, but the experience is the same each time.
Totally. That's exactly it. Yeah.
What you're creating. Love it. In terms of the three classes that you offer, you have Blazing House.
So, Full House, Blazing House, and Jump House.
Okay.
So, Full House is the one that is like mainly on the schedule because that's kind of like the signature style, open level. In that class, it's like the exercise, a modification, a progression. So, we can kind of try and meet people where we're at. But luckily, because of the size that we are, even still, we can like help people out a bit more. Mm-hmm. So, it should be a kind of like suitable for most people class.
Yeah.
Nice and dynamic, like, like really fun. And it's always structured in a really similar way.
Mm-hmm.
They all kind of are. There's Blazing House, which I would say is a little bit more of a punchier class. For lack of a better word, I'd say it's a bit more athletic style of the class.
Yeah.
That's probably just for some people who've been doing it for quite a wee while and just fancy like something a little bit more like punchy, with some more advanced stuff thrown in. And then Jump House is jump board, because I was like, got to London. I was like, where are the jump classes? Yeah. I love jump classes.
Not common.
Yeah, so jump houses. I love jump classes. So I was like, those are the three ones I'm going to start with. I don't want to do too many because I think it's like
overwhelming.
I'm like, I think that's a good and like within those classes, try and balance always like obviously like a nice like warm up breath work and like, you know, activation stuff. And then at the end of all the classes, we still do like a nice, like I always carve out 4 minutes maybe for like a good stretch, like little like almost meditative moment where we can just like, and again the music's all like in with that, so when the music gets nice and like chilled, and then we can like breathe and stretch, straps, like, you know, and then have a little at the end, so it's like a nice little like
collective,
so everyone leaves feels like so like I feel those three classes were kind of, again, always in my head, like it's hilarious, I've been like mood boarding in the notes section on my phone for like 3 years. So yeah, it's definitely, but I feel like it's working out, because I think people are
getting the classes. Your schedule is crazy.
Yeah,
and then you had your first totally sold out by holiday, which was incredible.
It was so good. I was so excited. But of course, like there's highs and lows. It's always like, it's probably like a lot of things like can be really randomly inconsistent at times. Mm-hmm. And like while I'm excited for those days that are like busy and waitlisted, like I'm also aware that the next day could be like really quiet.
So it's hard to judge, I guess, as well, isn't it? Because you end up feeling that, you know, it only takes a bank holiday weekend or half time to come along, and where you think this consistency comes from, and then suddenly goes, ooh, and it comes back up. But it's just a flexible flow. But
life is a roller coaster, as a wise man once said. Gotta ride it. So yeah, I feel like we are just figuring it out, because it's obviously like the first year. So it was like Easter. I was like, I don't know, do I keep the classes on? Do I take them off?
Because you opened in January, right?
Yeah, January, second week of January.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And when you first found this space, your choice, how did you choose the Aligned Pilates performers? Was that?
So I'd heard Balance Body, don't bring them in.
I've heard this as well. They're like a door drop.
A door drop. Yeah. And I was like, the stairs, have you seen them? So I was thinking, I was like trained with that, like the equipment was all Balance Body. So I was like used to the best, like, most familiar equipment for me would have been Balance Body, like Allegro 2 for the reformer. I was thinking, oh, okay, I'm not sure about that. But anyway, then I started thinking, let me have a little look. I'd used the line a few times, and then I was having a wee nosy around just like when I say spreadsheet, and my husband was spreadsheet, and I was just like, he was like, let's start to put like a proper plan together. And I was like, yeah, just looking at the pretty performers. But then I was having
aesthetic, and that's all I want to film.
I was like, let me look at a line, because I had obviously used these like in loads of studios before, but not this model, because this was like a newer, more
such
chic
a
model.
Nice model.
It's so, yeah, and it's pretty. She's pretty. So I was like, oh, that looks nice. But I hadn't used this model because it was new, and contacted them, and they said none of the studios in London had this particular one yet. So he was like, but we have a showroom like in the Midlands somewhere. He was like, so you can come and try it out. Brilliant. So then one weekend we just drove up and then tried it out, and I was like, oh yeah. And they were like lovely, really helpful.
Well, they look lovely, and even just the fact that they've got the little stores at the end as well, which is nice. It brings them up to like a higher level for you as an instructor. So I feel like sometimes when the ones are very low to the ground, you feel like you're having to bend over a lot to change springs. It's a lot of up and down with your knees and things. So am I in thinking that you had done quite a lot of, or you'd had a bit of experience coming back to London on a mega former? Because that's something I've never experienced.
So
how does it feel?
Different from Pilates. So what I will say is there's definitely confusion.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's any confusion in like the... like from teachers,
in
like I think
industry.
Teachers know, like in the industry, in the biz. Like I think we all were like, this is Pilates, this is not. But I think clients have like no
idea.
Like they're going to like a Legree class and they think it's Pilates. And at no point, in fairness, do Legree ever say they're Pilates. It's everyone else that thinks they're Pilates.
Just, exactly.
So it's, I think it is very confusing for people. I love the workout because I would say it is definitely like a little bit more strength training based. So I feel like I love it. Like I mean it might not be a popular opinion with Pilates instructors. I like the workout. It does feel different. I would say the class styles, the way that they've like made their classes, is a lot of like isometric movements, lots of holds, lots of like challenging things on various like springs. And but I would say I still think that if you're good, this is just my opinion, I still think you're better placed to do a mega former if you've got experience in Pilates. Although it's not Pilates, as we know, there are loads of similarities like in the movements. They just call them like funny names as well. So that's when you're like, but you're doing it, you're like, oh, actually this is the same.
And like you say, if you've got the experience from the Pilates standpoint to make it a safe practice, then you feel like going on to the, any mega
you
former,
just get more out
you
of
just
it.
You can just go in and not have to think about it so much. Whereas I guess if you're not familiar with any sort of form, I guess, if you're doing this is your first experience in a fitness environment, and you know, form is always
exactly. And it is, I would say, generally speaking, obviously every teacher is different in the way they teach like a reformer Pilates class, but it's a more challenging class, I would say, in terms of like it's just a bit more intense. And it's I think if you'd be better placed, I would say personally, going to that sort of style of class if you also do like Pilates, because you are going to be more aware of your form, because things are, they have like a back platform, so then you're at the back, so then you're pulling the spring, and it's like a lot of tension, a lot of weight, and it's hard to obviously keep your form. And I think I would
I love it, but I
know kind of what I'm doing with my body. Like, do you know what I mean? Whereas you do sometimes look around, no judgment, it's just that you're thinking, oh no, like this is not like, and because generally the studios are really big, people can't help them. And I do believe that a lot of the mega former studios now do like a starter version of the class, so that people can go in at a more entry level, which I think is really good. And that's like positive to hopefully make people like be able to like do it a bit more effectively and safely, and like enjoy it more, because sometimes you feel, the worst thing I think is when you see any class, even like just any time, any studio, like spin, whatever it is, it's like when you see someone just looking like completely lost and like no one's helping them, and you're like, oh no, like and you want to like help them, because you're like, you want them to feel like, we want people to move and feel,
and also, like,
excited
said,
to move,
definitely,
and not feel like
like worried or concerned.
Like with the classes being bigger sizes as well, and if you did get like a bunch of new people like in a class, it's like the teachers, I don't know how they can like control that, like because if there's so many people in the room to get,
I mean, you've only got to look on Instagram to see the amount of accidents that happen on reformers.
I know,
and it's you know, it can be yeah. a dangerous piece of equipment. I'm not sure that I'm familiar with the megaformers as much, but
yeah.
a reformer used incorrectly or with someone who's inexperienced or untrained is a dangerous piece of equipment.
I would say the same for like a megaformer.
Yeah.
If not more so, because there's like two ends of the machine to contend with, whereas the back of the machine, unless you have a tower at the back, like you're not using it as much.
Yeah.
Sometimes use the riser poles, but like you're not up there too much of the time. But I would say, yeah, the same. And the thing is as well, from what I'm led to believe, it's you don't have to hold much of a qualification in terms of like, you don't have to be a Pilates instructor to teach. Like when I learned, and I think you learned, it was like I said, it took me about a year, maybe just over a year all in to do it. And even still, I'm literally like, take the strap, don't tug the strap. Like, I am so
this
like...
safe practice is first and foremost.
Whereas there's people, 100%. I guess, that are now, because of the popularity of it, places are throwing up weekend courses left, right and centre. I did so much training, and I'm like, oh my God, everyone be careful.
100%, yeah. I think that's it. And that's what we're not saying that a megaformer or a reformer is one better than the other.
No, not at all.
Obviously, we're biased. The conversation here is that we just want to make sure that everyone's doing safe practice, and that's
safe practice
first and foremost. Safe practice, and you know, feel good movement.
Yeah, like I enjoy the workout. I like it, but I love Pilates, and I think if I didn't do this, I wouldn't be too effective in that class because I think a lot of it crosses over.
Yeah,
and I think that's where the confusion comes in with some clients, which is a bit tricky because I think clients go to like a class like a megaformer class, but then they come to like reformer class and they're like, why this isn't as hard, this isn't like
it's intense enough.
And I'm like,
it
shouldn't be like an insanely intense one. And it's really hard to like
get them to understand the full extent of, well, it's about centering and breathing and precision.
Because now that like reformer and Pilates has become more of a group experience, because I think going back it was more on a one-to-one basis.
Absolutely.
So like when people come to a group class, generally speaking, I would say they want like a punchy workout, but it's trying to explain. So in their head, they're like, well, I'm going to go to the megaformer because that's like harder.
Yeah.
And I want to like...
Or the fact that I think there's a strong misconception that heavier springs
means
a harder workout. Yeah, yeah. And I love that humbling feeling when you just put a blue on and they're like,
duck. Yeah.
Or no springs at all. Sometimes no springs is the hardest way
to
do it.
No springs is crazy. It's funny. But yeah, I would say that there is a little confusion and it's like always trying to explain to people like it's not the same, it's different. And it's like they're both great in different ways.
Exactly.
But this...
And they can almost like live alongside each other. If you're a Pilates, if you go to Pilates and you get all the form and the corrections and the centering and the breath work and you go and apply that to a megaformer class, you'll probably have a great experience because you're leading from that sort of knowledge first and foremost and then having a great workout
totally.
Safely, effectively, etc.
And I will say the best megaformer classes that I've been to that I personally like think that I've really enjoyed and thought like, whoa, that was amazing.
Yeah.
The teacher has also been a Pilates teacher.
Okay.
So it's not a requirement. Like people can just go take the couple of weekend courses or what it is for that studio to become whatever studio it is. They have all different rules.
Yeah.
But so obviously some people have got qualifications out with that. And I will say the people who, for me, that are Pilates teachers, I find the classes much better.
Yeah.
Because they've got the knowledge, but they're also delivering you like that strength-based like workout with all those moves kind of thrown.
But it's also like, I guess that's almost like what I love about Pilates is you can find such a niche with it.
Yeah.
You could be, you know, that sort of Pilates instructor that is so intense that can deliver those really intense workouts that are heavy and that are super challenging and you're walking out feeling like you've had a full body blast.
Yeah.
But from a safe, effective Pilates.
Totally.
Essence, first and foremost.
Which I
and
love
then
that.
You've got the opposite where you might have someone who's a physio or physiotherapist or
more rehabilitative.
Yeah.
And personally I'm not a rehab kind of Pilates teacher, I wouldn't say. And it's funny when you like because when you start you don't know what you're gonna
you just
be
have
like
to kind of figure
and
out.
Then you kinda like
and
find
you
your
have a couple of times you see that one specific client, you're like, oh, that's what I love about this more than that or whatever.
Yeah,
it's just so unique and personal.
Yeah, totally.
Opening of the studio, before you opened, obviously, we love how groovy this studio is. And it has such a niche and a style and a real identity that is very much you as well. How did you decide that
sort of the style of this sort of groovy loft experience was going to come to life?
I definitely, well, I am like a colorful, the only teacher who's never written like black.
I was going to say, if you've seen the two changes of outfits in this scenario,
if you see me in a black outfit, something's happened. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm just, I feel like I love color. Like, I love fun things. Like, I love glittery things. Like, it's all, it sounds so cheesy, but I've always been like that. I'm like, pink, fluffy, rainbows, and sunshine. Yeah. like a little unicorn. No, but that's kind of just my personality. And so when I wanted to have a studio, I was like, they're beautiful. So many studios, but it's all very neutral, understated tones. Gorgeous. But
absolutely.
I was like, that doesn't feel like me. Like, I can't have a perfect Instagram with like with the green plan and I can't. It's gorgeous, but it's not me. Like, it's not authentic. Like, that would be me just trying to be like the Pilates brand look. Yeah. And it is some people. It's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I want to create just like a fun. Honestly, like I just want to have like a fun little space. Like, I need to get, because obviously we're still quite new, there's like some other bits and bobs I've got my eye on online and things on auctions and things that I want to get for like the walls. But I just love like colorful things. Uh-huh. And I love disco balls. I have a tattoo of a disco ball. Like, I love like just, yeah, so groovy, fun, just like disco diva.
I think what you've hit in the nail on the head is that you kind of have to, in order for you to feel at home in this space day in, day out, and bring your personality to a brand and an experience and to differ from somewhere else.
To differ.
I think that's exactly what you said. You just find that.
Fortunately for me, I feel like because that this is kind of more my personality, lucky that it is a wee bit different from like a lot of the other sort of general vibes in a lot of studios, which like I say are beautiful, but for me this is a bit more me, and I'm lucky because that does make it stand out a wee bit more, because so many people will be like, oh my god, I love your logo, or like, oh, this is so cute, look at this, or like they're like they like it because it's a bit different. So it also works from a branding point of view, because it is a wee bit different from what else is in the Pilates world round about here anyway. And then in terms of like the space, I was just needed a space, like honestly, like I wanted it to be in a certain location that I'd been looking around in. And oh my gosh, it's hard work in London trying to find somewhere.
Absolutely.
I'd looked at quite a few different places and they were either too small or too big, and I didn't want to bite off more than I could chew, because for my first place I was like, I don't want to get in over my head, like with rent, like I don't, like no one might come. Like, I might not make any money.
This is so true.
So there was a lot to think about, like it's all like self-funded, like there was like there's no, like, so I was like, there's no backup here. I just was trying to find something that would work physically, geographically, and also like financially. So I found this place kept popping up, and I was like, it's too small, it's too small. And then it just kept popping up, and I was like, right, fine, I'll go and see it, because I only live like 10 minutes walk around the corner. I thought, me as well. So I came round, and then when I opened the door, I was like, oh, it does feel actually like okay. Mm-hmm. Like, when I realized the actual location of it, that it was across the road from the tube station, I was like, okay, Becca, go with an open mind, because the location is sick.
The location
And then I came inside and I was like, oh, actually, and I loved all the windows. I was so like, this is cute. Yeah. And it had all been like freshly painted and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is cute. And then the guy who, the estate agent guy, he said he'd helped another person who was opening a Pilates studio like a year or two before. And he was like, what they did was they ordered like sheets of like wrapping paper almost, and measured them out to reformers and laid them out. He was like, why don't you come back in a few days, get some, and then we'll do that and see if we can make it fit. And I was like, ah. So then I like, also on like webs, like there's literally room planner things online that you can do for reformers. I was like, no, I need to like see it.
Yeah.
So like we came.
I think you can't really appreciate that until you're experiencing it. Yeah. So you can walk between the reformers, legs and straps don't work. Can they stand by the side and do lunges?
Exactly. I was like, definitely. I'm trying to move my arms around. Like, is there space? Like, I don't know. But yeah, we did that. And then I was like, oh my God, it does actually work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, because I only wanted to do 5 or 6 reformers anyway. So I was like, I'll just do
5 mm-hmm. and then it should fit. Mm-hmm. And it did. And I was worried, like, when we first opened, I was like, oh my God, is it like, are people going to be like, oh my God, this is so small? Because there's all the big studios that started to open. And I was like, people aren't going to like my little place. And then everyone was like, oh my God, this is so cute. And yeah. I was like,
I mean,
thank God.
Again, so different from where the big studios are coming in.
Yeah.
You've got a much more unique experience because people are just getting more time one-on-one with the instructor.
Yeah.
And with just 5, you feel like you're just having a little session with your friends. It doesn't feel like a massive class. It's really overwhelming. Everyone's chatty. Everyone's super friendly.
So nice.
And also, by the time you lie on your mat, you can't see anyone anyway.
Exactly.
So you wouldn't know necessarily that it's 2 or 10 or 20, but you can experience a much better class as a result of only having 5 of you.
I think so. And I've worked in like different studios where there have been 18 people in a room and there's been 4 people in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then 10. Like, so I've kind of had like a shot at
different ones.
And the smaller for me, I mean, don't get me wrong. The big ones can be fun, but it, like, if you're lucky, because you really have to make sure.
Mm.
Like, if you get a group of people that are, but if you get, like, mm-hmm. you know, 10 people super experienced, 5 people brand new, like, then it can be, like, a lot. And you can't give people, like, a proper
help. You'd have to give, like, 10 different
like, you can't. You only have, like, 2 hands, and, like, mm-hmm. you only get to so many people. So it's not really possible. Whereas I feel in the smaller, like, setups that I've worked in, I've personally been like, this is so much nicer because you can really, like, help people. And I find that a lot of the sort of feedback we get is that people do really like that feedback, and they're like, oh my gosh, it's like a little, like, one-to-one, but it's in a group. So you get that group fun vibe, but you also get help.
Yeah, it's more accessible than maybe someone who can't afford a private, but they do want to have a little bit more one-on-one. You still get in the class environment, the social environment. You book into a class last minute, you're not having to pre-plan or pay private prices or anything
Definitely,
like that.
More accessible.
And then even for your, as an instructor, I feel like you don't necessarily get as much burnout because you're not teaching.
It's so less stressful.
Like, it's just, you can take your time. Better. It's not necessarily as intense as a one-to-one, so you haven't got to be so specifically.
You're not being a therapist.
You know, there's not a therapist at the time. And then
absolutely.
But then you don't feel like you have to project like the 9th performer at the end of the room.
Yeah.
It's just all in keeping, it's all inclusive, and then you can just talk to each other and cue and change and adapt and not feel like you're having to control the whole room.
It's definitely a nicer, for me, I feel like it's a nicer environment to work in, because and I think you can just control the class more, like, because there is less people.
Yeah.
So you can just, you can like keep everyone, hook everyone in and like keep them all together as a class. And then it's really nice as well, because I feel that what I also wanted with it being smaller was I want it to be like cute is the theme. Cute. I want everyone to like come in and feel like super welcome and like have a seat, chat to the person next to you. And it's so nice. In fact, in the last class I just taught before you came, there was five girls in here, and literally they were all just, they don't know each other, like, unless they've maybe met in here before, but they would all just sit and chit-chat. Like, it's so nice. And I'm like, because a lot of studios you do go to, and you just go in and you take your seat, and that's fine. Some people don't want to go and chat, but you don't, there's no, like, social community. There's no interaction. And I do think, what I will say, having, like, moved away from London and then moving to London, is London's quite, like, a lonely place.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's hard to make friends
really
in London.
It's a common trait of what I've heard, as I've just talked to more and more people.
So
I've
heard
both you and then Lottie and Anna, everyone's come from either Australia or from New York or from any other area, but it can feel like a really lonely experience when you're first moving into a new city, and to even just have one place that's not work, people feel like obliged to chat to you at work and stuff. It's just a nice class, and you can invite and you can find like your people.
That's what I feel like as we get more like into being open, because obviously we're still really new, I want to do a bit more with that, like in terms of like community, as much as, again, the community sometimes sounds a bit cheesy, but I do think that is really important. And we've got a lot of girls and guys that are, and I'd say all, I'm starting to see like the age range that we have, and I just think it's vibes. Like, everyone's so nice. It's just vibes. Like, and I'm like, we need to do something with that, because everyone is so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is, but genuinely, I've worked in like different places, and you get different people coming through the door.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say about the studio, my experience so far, it's like we're attracting the nicest people. Everyone is so lovely. Like, all the clients that come, I think so nice.
Testament to you and your team.
But, like,
and
you don't even know them, and then they just come in, and you're like, oh, and they're just like, nice, and everyone's just, like, happy to be here.
They feel really welcome.
Yeah, and I'm like, I love it. So I do think that's something we need to, like, get into a bit more, because London is, like, most people who live in London aren't from London.
No.
And when I compare it to, like I said, when I moved to New York, I feel like I just made friends instantly here, there, and everywhere through, like, Pilates, but then also in other areas. Yeah. But in London, I think people do keep themselves to themselves a bit more. So
we're
not very
chatty.
Yeah, and, like, it can be, like, I do love London, but it can be, like, a cold place. And I think people, like, have their little group of friends, and they're kind of just like, okay.
Yeah,
like, that's us.
I feel like the only time we're really sociable is when the sun comes out. Totally. Everyone's like, we're all friends.
Everyone's like, we're all friends. Yeah, I think that's the nice thing I want to sort of, like, lean into a bit here as well. Is like,
that's so nice.
Have a little kiki.
So before we wrap up, is there a studio or a instructor or a brand or anything in terms of the Pilates world that you would recommend that we go and experience or try or interview next?
A couple of people that I used to work with in America opened their own studios. There is one called Good Time Pilates. They've just opened, I want to say, their third location.
I feel like I follow these guys.
Do you?
Yeah.
So Sam and Meg are the owners.
Okay.
One of my good friends, Meb, who I worked with originally in America, is now working there with them as well. And I've only been a few times, but I just love what they do as well. I feel like the classes are quite small. I think they've maybe got six, maybe seven. But I love their, like, vibe. It's just, like, so nice. A little bit more, like, just, like, you feel like you're getting a hug when you walk in the studio. You know, it's just, like, that's that so welcoming, sweet, like, lovely vibe. They're, like, two friends. They started it together. They're really cool. And yeah, I visited, like, they opened that once I'd moved away. So when I've been back, I've been a few times to take my friend's class. Right. That's a really cool little spot. They do, like, privates, again, all the equipment, and they do the smaller size reformer classes, which is really cool. Their studios are lovely as well. But yeah, I would say I like Good Time. It's like an independent little studio.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and I like them. They're nice.
Well, thank you so much for your time and for allowing me to come back again, following a little technical fault last time. I'm so grateful.
So fun.
And I mean, I could just come back here every week. It's such
come back
beautiful
all the time.
Little space.
Just
so
come
much
back.
Fun. And obviously having a lovely chat with you all the time as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you so much for joining today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it and found it valuable. If you love what you heard, we'd really appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your preferred platform. Your feedback helps us improve and reach more listeners just like you. Don't forget to subscribe to LuxCore Pilates podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you want to stay updated with all things LuxCore, be sure to follow us on Instagram at LuxCore Collection. Thanks again for tuning in. Join us next week for more discussions on all things Pilates.